All right. Jesus Christ, you ready?
Yeah.
Another flight with the new batteries on this helicopter because the first flight.
Anyway.
Hi everyone, and hope you are all doing very well.
As are you ready to roll this thing? Let's do it. And welcome to episode number 40.
40.
40, man. Wow. 40, 40, 40.
Wow.
So you want to explain to the audience what that whole thing was all about? Because they're probably clueless.
Oh, my God. Man.
You want to explain it?
Yeah.
Briefly?
Yeah. So,
how do you get rid of it? How?
We cannot. So, Bert, Susie, and I went to a Whitesnake concert. What was this, like, a month ago now?
Yeah, for all of you that are too young, Whitesnake was a very famous band back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a month.
It's like a month ago now. It's so bad. It's like a month, and it's been stuck in our heads. Like, I fall asleep now hearing...
There's like two or three songs, yeah. I think, but this one's non-stop. The worst. Yeah.
And so we play it in the shop just to annoy each other.
I keep playing it, thinking that I'm going to eventually hate the freaking thing and just stop, but my brain won't stop. I just dream about it, thinking to get melody stuck in your head is impossible.
It's the worst.
But anyway, so this is number 40. Number 40. We're going to talk about...
Let's see. The topic name, to be exact, is what makes the hobby great and how to refine motivation to fly.
Yeah, it's going to be more emphasis on how to find re-motivation to fly.
Yes, because...
That's what we're going to talk about the most.
Because it applies to you and I, because we work in this full-time as like an actual living.
Yeah.
And it applies to people who are like stuck in a rut. Like, I don't know what to do now.
I think everybody does get stuck in a rut, rut from time to time. Like, in any hobby, not just in helis, but... I mean, I've been there, done that, and other hobbies I've done in my life, too. So, yeah, cool. Yeah,
definitely.
Before we get to that...
What have you been up to?
Oh.
Called you out.
What have I been up to? Nothing. I've been riding a lot. I haven't been flying.
Yeah?
Not at all. I've been riding.
Yeah, you've been busy with that.
Well, I went and flew with you last week, during the week. Mm-hmm. We went to the field that one day, and then we went back yesterday. So I have been flying a little bit, just not as much as I normally would like to. The weather is like I've said it in previous podcasts. The weather is so good right now for like bike riding. It's hot. It's really, really hot though.
Very hot.
But there's no rain. There's no chance of rain.
Yeah.
It's not very humid. Mm. When you're in the shade, it's not too bad. And when you're actually moving, it's comfortable.
It's not terrible.
It's not bad. And it's going to end literally in like June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this, June 1st. Somebody's going to flip the switch.
Yep.
And then it's going to be everyday thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
And very muggy, very nasty.
Very humid.
And it's just going to suck till October. So I'm just taking advantage of the good weather. But during those months, we still can go fly because even though it's hot, you know, who cares if it's raining? Just get under the awning and wait for it. Actually, the rain is better because it cools things off and then it stops. And then it gets a little muggy and stuff, but if it stays cloudy, it's actually nice.
And it's not like it rains all day, was it? Like
No.
It's just, hour and
it's,
a half?
Yeah, it's like a little, or even less, like a shower or two or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been riding. That's about it. I've been just doing a lot of just working. Just work. Riding. That's it.
A lot of work and riding.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But I'm looking forward to this weekend because, it's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Andreoli is coming to town, like you told me earlier. So it's going to be good to see him.
Yep.
We'll go fly Saturday.
Yep.
Sunday, we're doing a little party here at the house. Not a party, but kind of like a get-together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll fly and, you know, I don't know, grill some steaks and get in the pool and shoot some guns and do a little bit of everything. So that would be fun. And then Monday is just a bum day. Just
be
chill.
Lazy.
Yeah, be lazy. Chill, watch movies, just rest.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
And get ready for Tuesday.
And then Tuesday we'll just be back to the grind. So, yeah. So it'll be cool. It'll be cool.
Nice.
What about you? What you been up to? Practice.
I have been flying nonstop. Just about nonstop. last week it was a little bit slower, so I was spending a lot of time out at the field. I'd come into work and work until about 2 or so, and then head to the field, and it's been flying a lot, trying to get ready for Global 3D. I'm taking a different approach to practicing this year, and that I'm actually going to practice. In years past, I usually do the set maneuvers about 15, 20 times, and I'm like, all right, ready to go, ready to party. But this year, I'm taking it a lot more seriously, really putting in the time, trying to really clean up every sloppy part of the maneuver and just put in a bunch of flights. I remember Thursday I did 20 flights. Friday I did 20 flights. Saturday I did a handful. Sunday I think I did 10 or 15. Monday was a day off. And then Tuesday, what did we do, like 10 or something?
You did more than 10 yesterday, I thought. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's definitely more than 10.
Probably about 15, yeah. It was a lot. It's just a lot of flight time now.
I've never seen you like fly with that kind of discipline, though. That's good. That's good shit.
Yeah, it feels different. I'm just really, really motivated to just, obviously, just go out there and just do the best I can.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is just put the time in. So
you're going to be the oldest guy in the competition and also, like, the one that has the only one with a normal life, because everybody else is going to school or whatever. And just, you know.
Yeah. Like, Campu and I heard his dad drops him off at the field at 7 a.m. and picks him up at 7 p.m.
That's, like, insane. Nonstop. That's insane. No need.
And I'm the only American. The only American pilot.
Yeah, isn't that a shame?
That's ridiculous.
That's sad, man.
This is a personal call out to Jamie Robertson, Mitch Morozes, Ben Stork, Kyle Dahl, and all the others that have I can't think of on the fly. You people should be there.
Nick Maxwell.
You guys are leaving me hanging.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty. I'm not blaming them. I'm sure they all have their own reasons, and that's all good and dandy, but
yeah, we're just making fun of them. But
I know. But it's sad, though, that, like, you know. Yeah. The U.S. has lost a lot of ground in the helicopter world, and it keeps losing ground in the helicopter world.
Yeah.
Whether it is the market in the U.S. is shrinking, whether it is no more competitions.
Yeah.
Then when there is a competition like XFC, you see a lot of dropouts, and you see level is just not quite there.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It's sad, you know? Bummer.
Yeah, because Global 3D, we used to dominate it. We used to have like 5, 6, 7 helicopter pilots, and they'd all make it to the finals.
Yeah.
I would say that the U.S. has some incredibly, incredibly strong talent when it comes to flying.
Mm-hmm.
We would always make it to the finals, so it's kind of a bummer that I'm the only American going this year, so...
There is no question that the U.S. is more talent than any other country, in the sense that, I mean, it's also a larger country, right? If you take Europe and you compare it to the U.S., I think Europe has more combined talent than the U.S.
Sure.
But when you take an individual country like Italy or Spain or UK, definitely the U.S. has the most talent, no doubt.
U.S. is always dominant.
At the end of the day, U.S. is one country, so this just happens to be huge. But, yeah.
And the U.S. might not house the best pilot in the world, but...
It might not, but I think combined talent is pretty solid, solid.
It's hard to tell who's...
Unfortunately, the talent keeps getting older and older, and talent from other countries is younger and younger, right? So that makes it difficult. That makes it difficult, because we're missing that next generation. Obviously, we have Justin Cook, we have Chris Damanti, we have some of those guys that are like the next generation, as I call them.
Yeah.
But there's not that many of them.
It's just not that much. It's
a couple, two or three or whatever, right?
Yeah. But it's good that Justin is doing XFC. I'm very proud of him for doing XFC.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It's cool. It's going to get him to practice and be motivated and do all that. So good for him.
So what else have you been up to other than practice?
Work. Just doing work stuff. We opened up second batch Kraken pre-orders. So we got all the Kraken shipped out. Now we're taking pre-orders on the second batch and just general day-to-day stuff at the BK Hobbies Empire.
Yeah. The Empire. Yeah, and people, don't fall asleep if you want a Kraken.
Yeah.
Get it, pre-order it. If you can't find one from any of our dealers, pre-order it from your favorite dealer, from BK Hobbies or whatever, but as it seems, it looks like batch 2 is going to be in high demand as well, and might not be enough for everybody.
It's moving quick.
It might be, but there might not be.
If you are one of those people out there who was like, I'll wait for second batch, let them get the kinks worked out, well, you better step up to the plate, because it's time. It's time to order.
And, you know, we've been keeping tabs and keeping track on what's happening with the first batch and complaints and little issues and this and that. And it's not that bad. It's not bad.
It's already addressed, actually.
Yeah, and a couple of little minor issues have been addressed. Mm-hmm. One is completely unrelated to the Kraken, which is a swash plate issue. where the bearing in the swash blade is not is not running true, so the swash has a little vibration. That's not related to the Kraken in the sense that that is the same bearing that is used in all Goblin swash plates since like 2015.
How crazy is that? They've been ordering thousands of those.
Bad freaking just bad luck. Just bad luck. Just worst timing. Bad luck.
Literally the same bearing from the very beginning.
Yeah, and as I said, like shit happens. Like it just happened to happen now. But so that's not a Kraken problem. And the people that had the issue with the swash plate, we already took care of them.
Yep.
They got their new bearings. And, you know, if you're listening and you have a Kraken and you have that issue, contact us. You know, as SAB USA, we'll take care of you, whether you purchase from us or not.
Yep.
As long as you're in the U.S., of course.
Yeah, if you're outside of the U.S., just contact wherever you got it from.
Contact, whomever you got it from.
Yeah.
So that was one issue. And what else? I mean, a couple just of minor,
silly,
just
silly little things.
Dumb stuff. Like nothing major, really.
Very isolated things. I think overall, it was a great release. Generally,
the guy that went on the hangout and bitching today about his Carter breaking, his side frame breaking after a landing or after a flight.
That was in the Kraken group.
No, he put it on the hangout.
Oh, did he too?
He got deleted from the Kraken group. Oh, some lady emailed him from the Kraken group and said, this group is not for that. And
deleted
his post. Yeah.
No way.
Look it up on the hangout. I made a post earlier. Well. But, you know, I made a post there because it really annoys me when people have... That's truly a one-off problem, right? And I'm sure SAB is going to take care of this guy, no question. We can't because it's outside of our jurisdiction. It's not in the United States.
Right.
But I'm sure SAB is going to take care of this guy. But
I'm sure.
But I don't know why people have this urge to always freaking post this kind of stuff, man. Why?
I don't know.
Why not? Here's the prime example. If my iPhone takes a crap right now, what do you think I'm going to do? Do you think I'm going to open my laptop and go on Facebook and bitch at Apple because their iPhone sucks? Or do you think I'm going to borrow Susie's iPhone to call Apple customer service or make an appointment with the Apple store or whatever?
Yeah.
Which one do you think I'm going to do first?
You're
going to
call Apple and schedule an appointment.
Yeah. Do you think I'm going to go on my computer to Facebook and find Apple on my Facebook and send them a private message?
No.
Hey, my phone died. Can you help me? Would that be the proper channel to do? That's what we deal with, man.
All the time.
All the freaking time. It's stupid. It's insane.
All the time. It's out of control. It really is.
It's very difficult to be efficient and to provide good customer service when you have to put out these stupid fires over dumb stuff that can normally be resolved via the proper channels. Don't you agree?
Especially since I am not actually in the hangout anymore. It's really hard for me to keep up with.
Because you're not in the hangout.
I don't know. I left after...
What happened there? People want to know. People
after the name changed, and I don't know. I just kind of... It was, to be honest, it's a very strong source of negativity.
It is.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people just talking bad and talking and brand bashing and bashing people in general. And I was like, you know what? This group is so good, but at the same time, there's a lot of negativity, and I just don't want to be a part of it.
But, you know, I think that's what happens when you get a large group of people in a common place like a Facebook group like that. Because I see it. I belong to a few motorcycle groups, too. I'm mainly about Harley Davidson and stuff like that. And, like, even though it seems like people... It seems like there's less drama. People are, like, rude and cruel, too, man. Like, somebody will... I've never seen somebody go in there and bash a manufacturer like people do in helicopter groups. It's not about that.
Right.
It's more about, like, hatred. Like, just being an asshole for no reason. It's more like somebody will, like, post a picture of their bike. Be like, look, I just upgraded my wheels, as an example. And then he'll have a bunch of people be like, man, that looks awesome, badass, congrats. But then you'll have two or three assholes that'll be like, that's so gay. Or like, that looks like shit. Or like, why the color? Or like, dude, if you don't like it, don't comment, right?
Exactly.
Like,
I mean,
people are just proud of their rides. Yeah. The same way that like you'd be proud of your heli or...
Just let them enjoy it.
Yeah. But there's always an asshole somewhere. It's crazy. Why? No need.
Now
man.
It just makes me laugh because I've seen it so many times. But it's like, man, just let people live their life.
The world should be a nice, happy place, right?
It should be, but I left the hangout and I haven't looked back. But
anyway, I don't check it very often, but yeah. I did happen to come across that today, and I couldn't help it but jump and comment because it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't do anything, you know?
Right, and it doesn't have anything to do with Chris or Frank or any of the moderators. It's just the group. I mean,
those got props to those guys because I've said it many times in the past. There's good. If you've never checked out the Hangout, please do because it sounds like we're bashing it and we're not. Right. It's a very good source of information. Mm-hmm. And if you need help, you will find help. You can't go wrong by joining it. You have to join it. But what we're bitching about is not just a Hangout. It's just a common attitude over, in Facebook, whether it is the Hangout or any other close group or open group or whatever that is. Yeah. It's no different than what it was back in the day on Run Rider or HeliFreak, the two most popular forums back in the day. It's the same thing.
Run Rider.
It's the same urge to be a dickhead all the time, right?
I don't know why. Run Rider was easier to blend in, though, because you could choose your username. On Facebook, you are your name, unless you make a fake one, I guess.
Yeah, but I agree.
It's crazy. It's out of control.
So, this is kind of going a little long, but there's some points I want to make.
Okay.
So, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Memorial Day sale weekend.
Yep.
Shameless plug for BK Hobbies. We're doing Memorial Day sale. If you subscribe to our email system, you'll get an email probably in the next 24, 48 hours with more information. Unfortunately, we're out of stock on a lot of stuff.
What happened?
Bad timing.
Miscalculation.
Well, SAB is behind on a lot of composite stuff, anything that's canopies and booms because of the darn Kraken, right?
Right.
And so because of that, if they're out of stock, I got something in my throat, excuse me. If they're out of stock on a boom or a canopy, they can't make that kit. So a lot of kits are out of stock, like 570, we haven't had one in a while. Not to mention Fireball was another issue where they were expecting some ESCs from Hobby Wing. So they didn't have ESCs, so they couldn't have Fireball combos made. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different reasons as to SAB is behind.
Right.
We're getting product as we go. We have most of the parts. We're just missing some booms and canopies and some kits. But what I'm getting at is if you take advantage of the sale this weekend and we don't have it in stock, you still can back order it on our website. If it's a kit, if it's a set of servos that we don't have in stock, we're expecting a very large servo shipment. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're out of stock on servos, but we're expecting a large shipment. Same with blades. We haven't had blades in a while, but we have a shipment on the way next week. So if you order it, back order it, or is this coming soon, you still add it to cart and order it, you still can save the percentage during the holiday sale. And then as soon as it gets to us, we'll ship it to you.
Yep.
So
as soon as you place your order, we'll reach out to you. Let you know, hey, this isn't here right now, but as soon as it comes in, we'll ship it out to you and we'll keep you updated along the way with ETAs and all that. So
Yeah. So that's it for that. A lot of bad timing.
Yeah.
On the stock situation, we had a little issue with our machine shop making some CNC cases for our servos, so that delayed a servo shipment.
Yeah.
SAB's focused on this Kraken thing, so that's delaying other stuff. Mm-hmm. But,
don't let it deter you from ordering, though. I mean, if you want it, we're going to have it. It's coming. It's just not here right now for the Monday or the weekend of Monday sale.
Yeah.
So.
What was I going to say? Another thing I want to talk about was I'm getting tired of this Kraken shit. I am. It's
why?
It's nothing else matters. Like the Metallica song. It's only Kraken. Yeah. Why?
Because, man, it's the latest.
I'm done.
Why? Why?
Because it's annoying, man. Everybody's just, we need to just go back to our normal lives. Fly the old shit.
Yeah,
just have fun and
I think
buy a T-Rex or something.
I think a lot of people might be speculating now that the Kraken's out, everything's discontinued. No chance. The Drake, the Havoc,
that
the Thunder Sport
too. Yeah,
that's staying around, guys. That's gonna be here for years. The Thunder Sport is still the go-to budget helicopter to buy.
I think so.
100%.
No doubt.
100%. So if you don't want to go all the way 1096 for a Kraken, don't worry. The Thunder Sport is still going to exist, and parts are going to be around for years. They're still great machines. We're just promoting and pushing the Kraken because it's the latest and greatest. But everything's still going to be here.
I agree.
It's crazy. And Nitro, the thing.
So that's one thing that bothers me. So what are we going to do to break that monotony and start flying other stuff again?
Bring it out. Start doing videos. You should fly your Havoc this weekend. We'll do a video of you flying the Havoc. 770. You haven't flown that in a while.
770, yeah. I like that thing.
It's a V bar. Yeah.
Huh?
It's a V bar. We stole the V bar for your Kraken.
Oh, I have that one that came out of my Thunder tea. Sure. That you don't like.
That's fine. Anyway.
So, well, it just has short antennas, man. Yeah. It's an old double board thing, but it works.
It's taped together, too.
But it's fine. It works. The cases break, you know?
It's all good.
I can't afford the fancy case, so
whatever.
Tape is good. Whatever. Now, contests.
You ready to talk about
it? But stay tuned because talking about the freaking evil Kraken, we're going to give one away. Yes, you heard it right.
Totally
we're going to give one away. Absolutely for free.
$0.00 required.
And it's very, very easy to enter. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the first prize. The second prize would be a set of servos, Kyle Stacey servos. The third prize will be a gift certificate to BK Hobbies.
Yeah.
Or courtesy of BK Hobbies. All totally you have to free. Do is follow the rules. Very simple.
Yep.
And we will fill you in at the net, follow our Facebook and you'll find out, or we'll give you more details after we announce it next podcast. We'll have more info.
Exactly.
All right. You want to get to it or you're still...
Let's do it.
You got other stuff to talk about.
No, let's get into the topic. I'm excited for this one.
You want to talk about the team a little bit? Teams and how they screw things up? No, never mind.
Nope. All right, let's go.
Okay. I had a little rant, but I'd probably keep it to myself. Let's do it.
Okay. So.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready?
What are you going to talk about?
We are going to talk about what makes the hobby great, excuse me, and how to refine motivation. So for those of you who are unaware, flying RC helicopters, selling them, promoting them, this, that, and the other, working at BK Hobbies is Bert and myself's full-time job. We start at 7 a.m. and we're done at 7 p.m. Like, we're surrounded by it all the time. There's no getting away from it. And honestly, I think both of us wouldn't have it any other way. We love the hobby. We love the business. But we find ourselves getting frustrated or unmotivated to fly. And we've come up with some different ways to kind of refine the motivation to keep at it. Because just like anything, if you do it too much, you lose the desire. You lose the excitement and all that. But I don't know. This also applies to those of us that get stuck in a rut, though. Like if you're out learning and you've learned everything that you can learn, and you get stuck in a rut, like what's next, right? What do you do from here? Wouldn't you agree?
That's a $40,000 question.
No, but you see where I'm coming from. Like you and I are around this seven days a week. So like you're not always motivated to fly on Saturday and Sunday. Because like, okay, Monday through Friday I was dealing with this. So how do you, as Bert, find it exciting to still enjoy flying and have a good time with it?
I don't. No. I have to. It's not that I have to, but if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't be in this business, though.
You'd lose your mind. Yeah,
you lose your mind because this is perhaps the worst business to be in from every angle. You know, people complain like, "Well, we're talking about the Facebook deal, this and that." Mm-hmm. There's a lot of drama going on. You know, it's a very needy customer base because it's their hobby, and I don't blame them. That's the nature of the beast. It's a hobby for most people, for everybody. So if you don't keep it entertaining, if you don't keep it I wouldn't say entertaining, but
like
you have to keep it fresh, you have to keep your motivation up high in one way or another.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways to achieve or accomplish that.
Plenty of ways.
The one thing that back in the day, I would get really frustrated over, like, reading comments and things on Facebook. Like, back day was the forums, like I said before, Ron Ryder, Heli Freak, and things like that. You'll go in there, you read something negative towards the brand. I mean, I wasn't in business in the beginning, of course, in the heli hobby. But, you know, you still take it personal because if you're a team member, you fly a certain brand. You know, I used to get really bent out of shape over hate comments and things like that, which have been around forever.
Sure.
Or like certain things like that. But over time, you kind of start to filter those out. Like,
let's ignore it.
You ignore them. Like, you could go and post or comment or make a reference to it, but it doesn't boil my blood anymore. It doesn't bother me that much anymore.
Yeah.
It's more like a nuisance that I know is there that I would like for it to go away, but it doesn't make or break the hobby for me anymore. Whereas back in the day, it would.
Yeah.
Because I took it very personal, even if it wasn't 100% towards me.
Of course.
So that's one thing. You got to learn to tune out the negative. Tune out the negative. Because if you don't tune it out, I know people that have given up the hobby because of the negativity.
Well, then you're going to find that everywhere.
I was told Pete Neotis was one of them. You remember that guy?
Yeah, way back
in the day. He left the hobby because of drama and negativity.
Yeah.
Extremely talented pilot. My God, that guy was amazing. I think it was the first pilot I ever thought that was capable of doing some of the technical stuff he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he invented the snake maneuver and some of that stuff.
A lot of like pirouetting maneuvers. Mm-hmm. He was like the godfather of pirouetting stuff.
Yeah. So he was one that quit because of that. I am pretty sure that Eric Larson quit because of drama.
Could be.
And I see his posts on Facebook all the time. He's still around. He quit the hobby years and years ago. Very successful at being a pilot. He's a commercial pilot.
Great pilot.
he used to be an excellent helicopter pilot back in the, you know, in the 2000s, early, mid-2000s. He quit, I believe, because of drama, too. Jerry Sudemick, another excellent pilot, XFC competitor, quit because of drama. A lot of people quit because of drama. They let it get to them.
Yeah.
So you got to grow some, what do you call it, thick skin? Or
be able to tune it out, ignore it.
Tune it out. So don't let the drama get to you. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be the hater. There's always going to be the talk. There's always going to be the negative stuff.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a lot of positive, good stuff and good people and a lot of positive coming out of it too. So focus on the positive, not on the negative, right?
Right.
What else you got? What else is good?
I just love flying with friends. A lot of times in the past, when I lived in New York, I was doing a lot of flying by myself because I didn't have a day job. So my main job was flying and competing and practicing in events. So when I'd go fly on the weekdays, I was all by myself. And it was so boring. There's nothing more boring unless you're practicing for a contest than flying alone. So, like, on the weekends when you and Gator and all the Torches guys come out to hang out, it's awesome because you just hang out with your buddies, you make fun of each other, you fly together. Well, you know, we all order lunch together and have a great time. Like, back in the day when Bobby would come out and Paul Andreoli would come and stay at my apartment for the weekend, like, it was just awesome. Like, we had, like, 10 of us out there. We just talk a bunch of trash, make fun of each other, and fly.
That is indeed one of the things that make the hobby really, really good, really great is the hanging with the camaraderie with your buddies and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of groups in like North Carolina, from what I hear, that like get together, like 10, 15 guys. They just help each other wrench, fly, have a good old time. Because seriously, flying alone is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it is.
It's very dangerous.
Another thing that's really cool is that makes the hobby awesome is feeling that you're progressing.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So like when you learn a new maneuver, that gives that just it just makes you feel good. It's like you feel like the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Or like, in your situation, you're practicing a maneuver for competition and you blow it and blow it and blow it and eventually starts to come out and look better and better and better. And like 3-5 days, a week later, it's looking really solid. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a sense of accomplishment.
Feels good, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
Yeah. Or feels to really the newbie good. That learned to inverted hover or something. Like,
hover
and
knows
and all of a sudden, like, it clicks. Because you know how all of a sudden things click? You're like, yeah. And that's just cool, right?
It makes you feel really good about yourself.
Yeah. Events.
Going to events is probably the one thing that I think really, really fuels the hobby. Seriously. I think it really does. Because getting, like, it just expands on the weekend flying with your buddies even more. Because not only are you flying with your buddies, but you're flying with 100 other people.
And I can't understand the guy that goes to the flying field every weekend and never goes to an event. I cannot comprehend that guy.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
It's weird.
And I'm not saying that. You know, that everybody should be traveling the circuit like I used to or Kyle used to or like in general.
Yeah.
No, of course not. But, man, everybody should go. I've said it. I can't say it enough. Everybody has to go to an event. At least one event a year. Events a year.
Something.
Everybody.
Something.
Like, I look at people that fly or feel like somebody like Patrick, for example. We saw him yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick is a really good pilot. Really good pilot. I don't think he's ever gone to any events other than the blowout and the Torches bashes because they're here. Because
they're next door to his house,
And it's like, really, how, man? Like, you get to meet awesome people. You see different flying styles. you see different helis you might not ever see at home. It's just, it's such a different experience. You have got to do it.
And he's really into the hobby because he'll be out there on a Wednesday afternoon. Like, I'll show up for practice randomly. No one will be there. And then Patrick will roll up.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing here? So he's into the hobby, but just doesn't do events. It's very strange.
Yeah, I agree.
Very strange. But another thing that I personally kind of get a kick out of is after a really long and tough competition schedule, like right after Global 3D, I really like to dabble with other stuff. Like low RPM, like take a Goblin 770 and run it at 1,000 RPM, or fly my Nitro a whole bunch, or fly an airplane. Like, the thing that I find is if people really focus on, like, one thing, like if you're out there trying to perfect your inverted flight, you're going to get burned out eventually. So you mix it up. You fly different RPM, different helis, even fly an airplane. Who cares? As long as you're flying it. But I really get a kick out of flying my Nitro and my airplanes after a long season.
You know, and fly different aspects of the hobby as well, like 3D scale.
Yeah.
You know, speed flying. Yeah. And it's not like everybody's going to do them all, but it's always interesting when you, like...
Like, mix it up.
Mix it up a little bit. Mix it up. Like, if you have that interest, obviously, if you don't, it's not a big deal. But there's so many things within the helicopter RC hobby in itself that, but a lot of positive things about the hobby. A lot of positive things. Yeah. Like, you put in your notes here that's quite interesting. We talked to a guy. We're not going to mention names.
Mm-hmm.
We met a guy a couple of years ago in person that we've known of that flies really well, actually, that quit drugs because of helicopters, right?
Yep.
Excuse me. And he was highly addicted. Like, he was in bad shape.
Yeah.
And he's clean. He's been sober for years because of helis.
Yep. So he channeled all that energy into helis and got clean. So that's absolutely awesome. Good for him.
So a lot of positive things about helicopters. Lots of positive things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. What do you think?
I think it's good. It's a good outlet. I wish more kids would get into it, though, honestly. I really do. I wish kids would put down the video games and the drones and do this instead.
I know, it's like the generation is... The new generation is just not there now.
It sucks. It sucks. It really does. There used to be a lot of kids in the hobby back when I was coming into it. There was... Remember kids like Zach Johns?
Yeah.
Zach Johns. There was a lot of other kids when I did it, and they kind of dropped off. But I wish there were more kids in it to just kind of keep it going, because... Like you said, the current pilots are getting older, and the younger pilots are not coming in.
Yep. Like, no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
The Americans are getting old. Oh, well.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Well, what do you think?
Let's share some methods to get out of a rut. Put yourself back in the shoes of someone who's just learning basic aerobatic and 3D flying. You're stuck in a rut. You've learned figure eights, loops, and rolls, and now you're like, now what? How do I get out of this? Because you keep doing the same stuff every flight. Every time you go flying, it's all the same. You're just bored. Like, what do you do next? What are some things you can try?
For me?
Yeah, when you were up and coming, what did you do to get out of a rut?
I never had a rut.
Yeah, okay.
No, not when I was up and coming way back in the day.
Because you always found something else to work on?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
New maneuver, something.
I feel like people who get stuck in a rut early on are people who are probably trying to do something next that's too hard.
Either that, they're skipping, they're getting ahead of themselves skill-wise, and that happens a lot where people skip their basics. We've talked about this a lot. People skip the basics, they jump into pyro flips when they can barely, like, hover sideways or whatever, right? And then they get discouraged. It takes discipline. It takes practice. It takes work. It doesn't come easy. It's not something that you learn. It's not. It's a discipline. It's no different than learning to play piano or learning to play guitar. Like, it does take time. It takes effort. It can take years to get good, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
if you want it, you got to work for it.
Yeah. So I think I never really run into that, but now it's more common for me to just kind of find myself in a rut, in the sense it's like, okay, I'm kind of burned out.
Mm-hmm.
I really have no interest, or I really don't want to go fly, or I really don't care.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to go around that, well, the first thing that motivates, one of the things that motivates, and I keep going back beating a dead horse with this, one of the things that motivates me the most about the hobby is going to events.
Absolutely.
I get to see people that I've met over the years that I don't get to see but once or twice a year, or three times a year, sometimes once every other year. I get to see people like that. I get to see models and helicopters that I normally don't see around home field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see pilots that I don't get to see that fly incredibly well, that I can you know, look at their flying and either, whether it is get ideas at this point, I really don't, my brain doesn't work anymore as good as it used to, and I don't care about having many ideas anymore because I'm just repeat the same freaking routine that I've had for 15 years. But,
very positive.
But, yeah, but back, but it's cool to go and see, you know, a different style of flying. Like, no offense to you, but I see you fly all the time. You're amazing. Yeah. But, you know, you go out there and the skill might not be quite up there, but on a specific pilot, but it's a different style.
Right.
And that's cool to see. A totally different style.
Absolutely.
And again, seeing people you haven't seen in a while, seeing products, seeing things that you don't get to see around home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's an escape. It's a good way to kind of keep your interest in the hobby. It makes you want to, when you come home, it makes you want to go fly more.
Right.
Because, you're exposed to it, right? You're like around it.
And stuff like Virginia, it opens up to flying that you and I don't do. Like, remember, what was it? Two Virginias ago, you and I did drag racing. We don't do that at home. We've never done that at home, but it was fun to do it there. Night flying. We don't fly at night here, but we fly at night under the lights there.
Yeah.
So it's cool just to kind of like mix it up because we don't do night flying at all.
Yeah.
So it's kind of stuff like that to keep it fresh and exciting is always fun.
Yeah. I mean, watching the other pilots fly is like a thing that can get you out of the rut if you see somebody else fly. Especially people that are, you know, better than you and people that are worse than you. Both. Because you, believe it or not, you can learn from both. You can learn from both.
Yeah.
But that's always a motivational thing. The guy that's out there practicing and flying, like, it makes you kind of, like, just thinking of the old days of when you were learning something and how you learned it and how you accomplished it and how exciting and rewarding it was at that time is almost like transporting you back to that time and making you kind of want it again, right?
Another thing that I found, and you're gonna agree with me, and it's probably gonna sound kind of corny or cheesy, but you know where I'm coming from with this, is to just help people. Because like at every event, a lot of people come up to me and be like, man, I got this weird tail vibration, this weird tail shake, or this weird head bobble, I cannot get it out, can you please help me? And I look at their V-bar set and be like, oh, dude, this needs to be here. This should be like this. Boom, it's flying great at that point. So it's really cool to have someone who'd be, A, frustrated. I guess it's not really cool, but go from frustrated to actually enjoying their stuff just because I was able to change one number.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, just kind of help people enjoy the hobby more just from experience that I've had.
Yeah. Another thing that's cool is that kind of keeps you, gets you out of a rut or makes you kind of continue in the hobby or gets you excited about the hobby again is building something new.
Yeah.
Like, Kraken. Prime example right there. Yep. Classic example.
Yep.
You know, flying the same style helicopter since late 2011. You know, practically 7 years of the same, right?
Pretty much.
And then all of a sudden there's a new heli. That kind of, that got me a little bit excited about the hobby again.
Me too.
It doesn't need to be a new helicopter. It could be, a different set of blades, a different set of servos, right?
Or like putting like a new
testing
wrap,
something.
Yeah, like a new wrap on your radio.
Yeah.
Just keep either go all the way to a new kit or just something simple. Just change it up.
No doubt.
Absolutely change it up.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it. Or one thing that I used to do, you and I should do this more often, is like build parties. If you and your buddy get a new heli, build it together. Don't sit in your basement alone. Build it together. Have some drinks if you're of drinking age. Hang out. Have a good time.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, we should do that
again. I think we got together and built like Ernie's T-Rex 700 at the time, like three or four of us.
Mm-hmm.
We helped Mark Graves with his T-Rex 700, his Nitro T-Rex 700, which, by the way, he still owns and flies.
It still flies.
Bringing things like 10 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived in my apartment downtown in Conway, which I moved out in 09 from that place. So think about it. So it has to be 10 years. He still flies that thing.
Yeah.
But we did a few of those get together, you know, and three, four people. And somebody will be building the tail. Somebody will be building the head. Somebody will be like building the frames. The fourth person will be mixing the drinks or whatever, or just distracting everything and screwing everything up. And it still took 4, 5, 6 hours, but
it's fun.
It's fun. It was
fun.
It was
fun. Really fun.
It was fun. Yeah,
it's really fun.
No doubt.
I'm looking forward to it when you and I do that the build video on the Kraken.
Oh my God,
we'll get that.
Are we gonna do that?
Yeah, and you and I are gonna have a great time with that. Gonna spend a day, no flying, make a couple adult drinks, and just build a Kraken on video. Why not?
I'm not so sold.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Huh?
We should get someone else to help us too.
Like who?
Andrew Lee.
Yeah, good luck.
Exactly.
He lives in New York, man. He's making dough.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
Anyway.
Is there anything else?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? Oh, yeah. Alrighty, this week's code race is about the stick mover. The stick mover flight training system. For those of you who have not seen the stick mover, it's a pretty cool tool.
You want to explain what that's all about?
Real quick. Real quick. It's a computer program. It has a radio with servos on the gimbals. So you select a maneuver like a TikTok, and you put your thumbs on the transmitter sticks, and the sticks will move. They're servo powered. It'll move as the TikTok is doing it on the screen. It's kind of cool. It's really good for like muscle memory and learning new
stuff.
It
is really good for muscle memory, yes. Yeah,
excellent for that.
When used with the simulator is awesome.
Yep. Yep. So, you can save $29 off of a stick mover flight training system.
Yep.
$300 right out the door. So, two codes. First one is BKRC2269. That is BKRC2269.
And the second code is BKRC4412. BKRC4412.
Save $29 on a stick mover.
Yeah, and don't be that guy that says, "Oh, I didn't use it because I figured somebody else did." Well, no. If you all think that way, then nobody's ever going to use anything.
Right.
So give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Give it a shot. You never know. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's not. Just at least try it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's all we got. Pretty lame podcast, this one, huh?
It's all right. It's quick and simple.
Keeping it positive. It's lame.
Keeping it positive.
What?
Keeping it positive.
Okay, let's turn it negative now. No, I'm just kidding. What else we got to talk about? I think that's it.
What about some events we got coming up? Let's talk about events.
Yeah, so what about Leroy Hall?
Leroy Hall is doing the Cincy Smackdown
in
Cincinnati, I guess.
Man, that guy's Ohio. Been texting.
Yeah, he wants us to go. Unfortunately, we are not going to be able to attend this year.
We can't.
It's just too tight.
Why can't we?
We have committed to going to Utah the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Utah Heli Bash. Looks like we're going there.
And the problem is the time.
It's just way too close. It's just way too close.
Well, we have, we have Memorial Day
this
coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would have to be going like Wednesday or Thursday to go there and then come back and then back to Utah. It's just not possible.
It's just really
not feasible. We have way too much going on.
Yeah.
We're going to get shipment of blades, shipment of servos. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of work going on.
Way too much.
It's going to be really hard. Yeah.
Just can't make it. We are going to support the Cincy Smackdown, though.
Yeah,
of course. Give them some donations.
Yeah, we'll sponsor it. 100%. No doubt. Yeah.
Wish them the best. We wish we could go. It's just way too tight right now.
Yeah. We have some of our guys going there.
Yep.
I think Todd Dudek will be there, I think.
Yep.
Is Ron going, of course?
He might.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So there'll be a few people there that represent us.
Yeah.
The A-Main boys are going to be there with their Kraken. So if you haven't seen a Kraken yet, if nobody around that area has one, the A-Main guys will be there. Frank Colombia and Leon Luke and Jason Bell. I believe all three will be there with their Krakens.
Yep.
So, And then, so Utah, right?
Yep. Utah the weekend after.
The weekend after, which is the first weekend in June.
Yeah, like June 7, 8, and 9 or something.
Something like that.
Somewhere in there. Yeah, it'll be fun.
And then Global 3D.
Yep. So after Utah.
You're going to that one on your own, buddy.
You better not bail on me. You cannot. Anyway, so we're going to go to Utah. Looking forward to that one. Haven't been out to the west side of events in a while. Haven't been to Utah in a few years now. So it'd be cool to hang out with all the dudes out there.
7, 8, and 9.
Yep, do some flying out there. And then I'm home for a couple weeks and just got to grind out some practice. Got to do some music, some freestyle, some set maneuvers, and just get fully prepared for Global 3D. So
you will literally have 3 weeks from the time you get back from Utah
to be
absolutely prepared.
Yep, that's fine because I've been flying just about every day.
And then you're flying on the 3rd or the 2nd.
With you.
Out to the Netherlands.
With you.
Yep. The 4th of July weekend.
Yep. Bert and myself.
The whole thing will interrupt my beautiful, long looking forward to holiday weekend.
It's all right. We'll make up for it. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. You're going to be able to help me out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make you feel good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sound excited.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then after that, home for a couple weeks, and then we go to IRCHA, International Radio Controlled Helicopter Association, IRCHA 2019.
Are you looking forward to that one? What do you think? What do you think of IRCHA? What's your opinion on that? We had a very productive meeting with those guys not long ago. And then we brought them to the podcast to talk about the global international 3D helicopter competition.
Yeah.
Or what is it called? The global...
World champion of the world or something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I will not be competing.
I think it's a good idea. I think the competition is a good idea. But but the problem with the competition is it's too late, right?
It's too late, and it spans along too long of a schedule. So, like, it starts with F3N the week before IRCHA.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a music flight on Friday and then a night flight on Saturday. Like, no one's going to be able to do F3N beforehand. So, I think it's a cool idea. It's great. It's a cool idea. It's fresh, it's different, it's nice, but I will not be able to do it.
What about the event in itself?
Man, it has changed over the years, hasn't it? I remember the years of, like, from 2009 until 2014 of just being absolutely packed, crazy, busy, like literally a full-time job being there. Manning a booth, demos, flying, competing. It was a lot, and it does not seem to be the same way anymore this year. So even last year it was a lot smaller. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what we have in store for us this year. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to it?
I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. We haven't finalized our plans yet. We don't know. I'm sure we'll be there in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, we've talked to those guys. I've told those guys we want to support them in one way or another. We're always going to support IRCHA in some kind of way.
Yeah.
But I don't know to what degree. Write to us. Send us your suggestions. I want to hear what people say about what their opinion is on us being at full force at IRCHA.
Leave a comment.
Yeah, by full force, I mean, as a sponsor, like, should we just go in full force, as I would say it in a vulgar kind of way, like balls to the wall, and just spend all the money and be in full support of IRCHA.
Yeah.
I mean, and your guys' opinion, is that worth your while, or do you believe we should do it? And I'm curious what people think about that.
Yeah, leave a comment down below. Yeah. Like, does it leave a different impression on the company itself if it's fully sponsored?
Yeah, or if not. Yeah.
Or if, like, Bert and I show up as Bert and Kyle, and, you know, we're flying and hanging out with you guys. Like, does it leave a different impression on you guys?
Mm-hmm.
We're very curious, because we're just thinking about the whole plan and planning out
how to go about it.
Yeah, just figuring it out.
It seems like every year, I remember we used to have a consistent plan back with my SAB days, like on what we were going to do at IRCHA every year. But lately, things are changing. The market's been changing. Everything is different.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it wouldn't hurt to just slow down the support. But on the other hand, I feel like if we don't support the event eventually is going to go away, right?
Right.
It's just a matter of time before other manufacturers stop supporting it too.
Right.
So, and I don't want that to be the case. I don't want to be that guy. So.
And it's not that we don't want to support the event or anything, but it's just perhaps the support could be allocated elsewhere.
It's the expense. It's very expensive. It's very expensive. It's very difficult for us as a small business and the hobby business to be able to get a return on that investment. It's a huge investment.
From the point that you leave your house till you get back, it's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
10, 15, 20K. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It takes our business a trimester to make that kind of money, like a quarter in a year to make that kind of money free and clear after all expenses.
Yeah.
If that.
Right.
Sometimes we don't make it.
Then you have to consider the fact that it's a week with no shipping. So it's a week of not really perhaps making money, because people are not going to order if it's not to ship.
Yeah, you're not shipping.
Because it gets shut down. You, me, Susie, we all go.
Yeah.
We all go in the shop and get shut down. So
yeah,
it's tough. Yeah. Let us know what you guys think.
Feedback would be nice. We would appreciate it. Yeah. I'm really curious what you guys think.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
I think that's it. What else for the rest of the year? Oh, we got the Torches Winter Bash.
Oh, my God. That's like a freaking year from now.
The Torches Winter Bash. Gator and I just had a meeting, the club meeting, talking about that. I
told Gator not to do the event.
The Torches Winter Bash. It's going to be tentatively December 6th, 7th, and 8th of December 2019. We've been getting some inquiries about when it's going to be, so people can plan out their schedules. So plan on that. It's obviously not going to be anything close to what the Orlando Heli Blowout was in years past, but we're just looking to have a good time, get some people together. And Orlando, Florida is a great place to go to in the dead of winter. And bring the family, go to Disney for a day, come fly helis with us for a day, have a good time.
No need.
What do you mean no need? You just said that events are great for the hobby.
Yeah, but Orlando is different, man. It's Why? I'm tired of Orlando.
Why?
Need to go somewhere else. No. Utah.
We are, don't worry.
Okay, well then that's fine. And you don't need Orlando.
We should go to California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's going to happen.
I think that's it. I wanted to go to the Washington event.
Still on the board. It's just very...
What is it called?
Snohomish. Snohomish.
Snohomish.
Yeah. It's just tough timing.
It's a bad date. It's a very bad date.
The whole month of August is really tough in general. Really to plan out. Even at this point, I have no idea what's going on in August. So, very tough. But
if we can go, August is always difficult. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll leave it at that.
Why not? Right? Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. So...
I got some practice to do.
Kyle. Yeah, yeah, you're going to the field right now. So, Kyle. Mm-hmm. And this is actually recorded on Wednesday for the record.
Yeah.
Right before it's posted.
Yep.
Kyle, mm-hmm. where can you be reached at? What's your Instagram?
My Instagram. What is my... I don't know.
You don't have one. Sorry. Your Facebook.
It's public now. My Facebook is Kyle. Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC. That's where I post all my updates, pictures, videos, stuff like that. But if you want to actually get in contact directly with me, the best thing you can do is email me at kylestacyrc@gmail.com. You?
Interesting.
Yeah. It's easier that way.
Huh.
You?
For me, facebook.com/BurtRC.
Do you answer messages?
I don't. They're turned off. Sorry. Cannot message me. But if you really, really want to get a hold of me one-on-one, Bert@camerer.name is my email address.
Really?
And I can be reached also on Instagram at Bert_Kammerer. Yeah. But the easiest way to get a hold of me and Kyle together is to go to Facebook and hit us up via the BK Official on Facebook as well as Instagram. You can message us via Facebook at the BK Official.
Yep. We both monitor it. So cool. If you have any questions, let us know.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll catch you again next week.
Next week or the week after? Or...
Hopefully next week. We'll try next week.
Yeah.
All right. See ya.
See ya.